item number 9 from the Office of the Sheriff requesting authorization to execute a professional services contract with Armor Correctional Health Services, Inc. for the provision of inmate medical and mental health services for the time period of April 1st, 2013 to March 31st, 2015 with 4 additional 1-year renewal options. On March 7th, 2013, this item was laid over for 1 meeting cycle.
Thank you. Inspector.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, supervisors, Attorney Michael A. Whitcomb is sitting to my right, and I will turn the mic to him.
Attorney Whitcomb. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome.
Members of the committee, I'm here as a lawyer because this matter is in the legal field as well as in the legislative field. Tuesday, there was a hearing for Judge Brash, who has been diligently attempting to secure compliance with the consent decree, which is a court order, most specifically concerning the retention and hiring of the 3 major management positions as directed by the consent decree. The parties, meaning the plaintiffs, meaning the county, meaning the sheriff, have been diligently attempting to cause those positions to be filled since last May, and before that time through the Sheriff Clark by recommendation to the county of entry into the contract with Armor. The sheriff recognized the difficulty of securing compliance with the consent decree back in 2011. He recommended to the county that bids be requested, proposals to provide the medical care. One bid was submitted. It was by Armor on 2 consecutive budget cycles. It was contained in the county executive's budget. However, it was removed by the county board. The sheriff, frustrated, if you will, but not necessarily due to politics or obstruction, but just due to the fact it's difficult to find high-end professional people at superior management positions willing to come in and basically serve in their profession, taking care of 40,000 per year jail inmates. I mean, it's really more of a calling than an occupation for those people in the particular field. Therefore, last May, the sheriff filed a motion in court asking the court to declare that he had the constitutional authority to enter the contract himself based upon his position being one as a constitutional officer and based upon the fact that he's responsible as the sheriff for the care of inmates. The case eventually came to decision last October, if I recall correctly, by Judge Brash. Judge Brash ruled that the sheriff did not have the constitutional authority to enter into the contract independent of the county, if you will. And there the case has, my word, fallowed. We've had the status conferences every 4 to 6 weeks, giving Judge Brash an update of what the parties were attempting to do, and the parties, the county human resources, went on their independent track of trying to find individuals to fill the 3 positions. The sheriff went on the track of having Armor, if you will, provide a contract that would address those 3 positions as well as address the concerns of Dr. Shansky. In February of this year, a proposal was submitted to the court and all the parties where Armor would provide the medical care for the county inmates, incorporating therein the recommendations of Dr. Shansky, which in effect I believe included an additional 43 full-time positions. Of course, I adjusted the amount of the contract, and that was the contract that was presented before this committee and we are considering today. The court and the parties recognize that a concern with the provision of health care other than county employees The court and the parties recognized that the contract with a private vendor would have an impact on county employees. Judge Brash made an inquiry of Armor's chief executive officer, who's been in town in Milwaukee for the last 3 days with their business development director. They are in attendance here. Mr. Bruce Turk is the chief executive officer, he testified voluntarily in order to answer the questions of the plaintiffs regarding any concern the plaintiffs had, meaning the plaintiffs' lawyers, the ACLU legal action, had regarding the provision of health care services by the armored company. The judge also had some questions, some insightful questions, and a pertinent question was the judge asked whether or not Armor could enter into an agreement, would be agreeable to enter into an agreement with the county whereby county employees would remain county employees. And the answer was yes. And that has been a substantial concern of this board and people concerning privatization, if you will, of providing the health care services. Armor is willing, should a contract be entered with the county, that county employees may remain in their position as county employees. However, the only adjustment would be that in the event county employees' positions are vacated by retirement, by quitting, whatever the reason, that they subsequently would be filled with armor employees. That seems to address the concern that everyone has concerning employment of county employees. For those county employees who wish to be armor employees, they'd be free to do so. Their compensation would remain the same. The benefits would not. There is county benefits generally are perhaps right now a bit more generous than in the private sector, but as to the compensation, the hourly rate of pay, that would be identical. What we are asking the board to do today is to forward on to the full board for approval of the contract you have before you, with a full understanding that that contract would subsequently be substituted with one that incorporates the provision that county employees may remain county employees. This is just historical background information. On next Tuesday, the court asked CHC, Correctional Healthcare, the new company that came in on Tuesday for the first time, to ask if they could present a proposal to the court in 7 days. They said they could, provided that the Department of Human Resources was asked by the court to provide both armor and both correctional health care with a statement of all of the positions, not identified by employee name, but identify all the positions, county positions, that now provide health care and indicate whether or not those positions are filled. We are still waiting to receive that. That should have been received by request of the court yesterday. But once that information is received, it is those positions that the proposals are to consider filling, vacant and otherwise. And then the court wants on next Tuesday both armor and correctional health care to submit to the court for its consideration to order the county to enter into the contract, because the court is quite frustrated, if you will, that the judiciary is in a position to make a decision that should be made by the legislative and executive. But because we are under a consent decree, the court is under its obligation to secure compliance. So the contract for the county board that will be before it in 2 weeks in its full detail will be available for the county board in 2 weeks. It is just that it has not been finalized as of yet because we are waiting for the numbers from the Department of Human Resources, but it will be the contract that will be submitted to Judge Brash next Tuesday. So Judge Brash can, from his perspective, compare apples to apples between armor and correctional health care facility. He was quite concerned, however, that the correctional health care has not been vetted by anyone within the county to the extent that armor has, that they have not submitted a proposal in response to an invitation to bid like armor had, but he does want to have that ability to look at the two proposals and conduct his analysis based upon his involvement with this case for almost a year, and he indicated yesterday that he's almost completely through the four banker's boxes of legal records since the case was started back in 1996. But he's been very helpful and diligent, and he would most specifically like the county legislative and executive branch to make the decision, but he will not, I do not believe, that he will avoid making the decision himself if the county fathers decide to delay action on it. Therefore, the request is that this matter be moved forward with approval, with the understanding that the agreement that would be approved by the county board would contain the necessary language, legal and economic, to address the retention of county employees who wish to be retained. And perhaps in 2 weeks this matter can be finally resolved.
Okay, Attorney Whitcomb, thank you for...
I'm sorry to be long-winded, but I wanted to put it all in context.
And in fairness, before I take committee questions and comments, I'm going to ask our own corporation counsel, either Ms. Walker or Mr. Grady. Obviously, you were at the court session with Judge Barash on Tuesday, and if you would just like to weigh in, please.
Mr. Chairman, I will tell you that essentially what Attorney Whitcomb has stated is what occurred during this last status conference, only to add that it's my understanding that to the extent that Judge Barash believes it necessary on his end to order the county to enter into an agreement either with CHC or Armor, that his ordering of said agreement would be a short-term fix. His statement was that he would do so and then expect that the county would issue an RFP for a longer period of time. But I do agree with what Attorney Whitcomb said. I believe that the judge made it very clear that this was sort of the county's last time, and he wanted to know if we were going to move forward or he was going to move forward for the parties.
Okay. Thank you. And we do have two speakers from the from our audience, and I'm going to ask them to come up. I know that they both represent Armor, because I sense that many of the questions are going to deal with Armor per se, and so I'm going to first of all recognize Mr. Bruce. Is it Teal?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Teal, and you're the chief executive officer, and we welcome you to cold and blustery Milwaukee. And we also have with us Zella, and let me try this, Girola?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Ms. Girola has been with us so often that we're going to make her an honorary member of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. please, I'll let you all do your testimony, and then we'll have questions of them, sir.
I don't know, Mr. Chair, if there's any of her supervisors. Thank you for having us here, first of all.
Sure.
And I don't know if there's anything in particular you would like for us to address. If you'd like to know a little about Armor, I'm sure you've heard a lot about Armor, it seems like. If there's anything specifically you'd like me to touch upon, I will just tell you this. As an organization, we're a physician-owned, one individual, Dr. Jose Armas. Frankly, we have a $1 billion sister company. This organization was started, and the name of that company is Medical Care Consortium, Inc. It's totally independent of us. But he started this organization in 2004, and he started this organization to try and do things and to serve others in need. That's the bottom line. He does not draw a salary from this company. He has put together, and I've been frankly very blessed to be a part of it, a team that has decades, hundreds of years of experience, and we just want to do one thing. We want to work with the community. We want to try and change people's lives. As far as any particular contracts, the size of our company, the number of contracts, I'll be glad to discuss all of that.
Very good. And you are correct. This has been before us, and your representatives have been with us numerous times, and it's a nice segue. If you had anything else you'd like to add.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to be here in your presence again and appreciate it. Any questions that you may have, we'll be happy to answer.
Very good. Okay, I'm going to go around the room here. I'm going to start with Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wickham, having heard what you had to say, I would like to have a document to review, to look at. I've been a county employee for 25 years plus, and I am very concerned about the ability to employees to maintain their employment, to not have something happen to them that shouldn't happen to them. And so having heard what Corporation Counsel Walker told us, I am looking forward, and we might have to have a special meeting given what happened Tuesday. If the contract, the amended contract can be, adapted contract can be provided to us for our review, possibly we can have a meeting, and then I'd be willing to go forward. Since it sounds as if that Armour Correctional Health Services will be willing to have county employees be county employees and provide the medical services that we desired. That's what I heard.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
That is correct, Supervisor Johnson. The amended contract will be prepared by Tuesday and be submitted to the court pursuant to the court's request on Tuesday. We're still waiting for the final numbers for the economic adjustments from the Department of Human Resources. We hope to have those this week, and then the contract will be finalized. There are non-economic issues that have to be resolved between the lawyers for Armour and the lawyers for the county, and that concerns management and control, whose rules, whose procedures, what is the organizational structure when you have two different entities providing pay for two separate groups of people all under one organization. It was for this reason and the complexity of it that Armour initially indicated that it had to have the whole shebang as mm-hmm. opposed to retaining county employees. But on reflection and on consideration and now understanding that it is probably very manageable with county representatives, specifically from legal staff, to have two groups work together with the understanding that the overall responsibility, the overall management, would be that of Armour because its management people above the positions of county employees would have to have that control. But the positions, the county employee positions, would be protected. They would retain their same rights that they have now. They'd be still civil service employees. But all of that is still in the works. It's only been about 36 hours since we started working on this, and we're still waiting for the numbers. But you will have that, and I would, if Corporation Counsel wants me to, at the time it's filed by Armour with the court, it can be emailed to all county supervisors, or I could provide it to her office, and she could do the same. So you immediately have the 30 to 40 pages of contract language before you for your consideration.
Ms. Walker?
Mr. Chairman, what I would ask is that the final proposal be sent to me, and then I will make sure that the committee or the full board has that in the case of a special meeting being called. I just wanted to make the committee aware that HR has actually given us the final numbers, and the county's outside counsel has that information, and that should be sent. It should have been sent yesterday, so I didn't know you didn't have it yet, and we're following up now. So you'll have that today.
Thank you. Ms. Garola, good to see you again.
Thank you.
And Chief Executive Officer Teal, thanks for coming this time. You've been well represented, and we appreciate you being here. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Supervisor Weishan.
I think this whole thing here, we need to get some clarification from our Corp Counsel on just what is before Judge Brash, and you had mentioned this being a temporary piece. And I think just these discussions, especially with a vendor here, is highly inappropriate. That this is not, if this is going to go out for bid, if this is going, if we're going to discuss financial arrangements and things like that, I don't think that these discussions should be taking place in open session like this with a potential vendor, because these are some of the same people who sat before us last month, and said they wouldn't work with us on this in no whatsoever shape or form. I'm not interested in hearing from the vendors. What I want to hear from is our Corp Counsel, and I think we need to get back to this contract and what's appropriate for Milwaukee County. on that.
Ms. Walker?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, in response to the supervisor's statement about the appropriateness of the discussion, because there is no RFP, because we're not in the RFP process, that process closed, and because everything that you've heard here today was also discussed in a court, which was a public hearing, the numbers for ARMR as well as for CHC, those were all discussed. And so because of that, while we can go into closed session to talk more strategically about what this committee or the board may want to do as it relates to the direction of the judge in directing the county to have CHC's proposal submitted to him, as well as ARMR's proposal to be submitted to him by next week Tuesday, what he was stating was he was looking to potentially order the county to enter into either A or B. He was going to compare both of the proposals, make a determination, but it wasn't intended to be a long-term solution. It was intended to bridge a gap that would get us to 2014. At that point, the court indicated that it was the court's hope that the body would then potentially let another RFP that would include ARMR, CHC, whoever else as a vendor that's interested in providing that service.
Once again, Corp Counsel, Ms. Walker, we're here, it seems like, in open negotiations back and forth about this contract. We have an analysis from the DAS on a proposed contract. The item that is before us is for a period from April 1st, 2013 to March 31st, 2015, with four additional one-year renewals. I think, like I said, this is a very inappropriate forum to be discussing the intimacies of a contract. And I think that if we want to have an appropriate analysis done in a discussion, that it should be done without the vendors in the room, especially if those vendors may in the near future not be the people being selected to provide this service. I think it's just highly inappropriate the way this is being discussed.
Okay. You're finished, Supervisor?
Well, just one last comment, and I want to make sure that the joke, because I think Mr. Wickham got this wrong. We're not just here to protect county jobs. We're here to provide mental health services for people at it. And the reason that at least I'm concerned about our current employees is the ripple effect of 131 people losing their jobs and what it has on our costs and how it's going to affect that. Now, if ARMR wants to pick up the cost for all the unemployment, all the sick leave days, all the pension, and all the other overhead costs, and we'll throw a few more $1 million onto this contract, that's fine. But those are the real effects of this contract. And it's not just about we're a bunch of union hacks up here trying to keep people in a job. It's about how we provide a service and what that service is going to cost Milwaukee County. And the contract, the analysis that I've seen before us here, is that this is a multi-million dollar increase in our budget for this service. And as it was pointed out, the $2 million for the one-time capital project. Otherwise, it's over $1 million a year increase, and you're looking at a three-year contract with four additional years. So you get a checkbook. The sheriff has a checkbook with an extra $10 million in it because we don't. And I don't. That's why I said I think it's highly inappropriate that we be discussing this contract in this forum.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Whitcomb, I think, answered the question that I had from the point of view of ARMR and perhaps the Sheriff's Department, but I guess I'd appreciate an answer from our own Corp Counsel. During the court proceedings, was there an expressed rationale given in court? Was that under oath?
Mr. Chairman, yes. The discussion that the judge allowed the parties to engage in with CHC as well as ARMR, that was all under oath.
Then I'm curious to know whether there was any expressed rationale given in court by the ARMR representatives for overcoming their initial reluctance to keep county employees in their current positions. I mean, beyond the obvious profit motives, were there other reasons expressed for overcoming that reluctance?
Mr. Chairman, what I will say, and then I will, you know, defer to Armor to speak if they, you know, believe that I'm incorrectly stating what occurred. I believe that Armor moved away from stating that they were only interested in the entire contract and moving to, we're willing to oversee the employees that remain county employees, and then actually have Armor employees be those top three leadership positions, because CHC also said that they would be willing to do it. The judge went into a line of questioning to CHC to say, you know, how is it that you're able to do this but Armor cannot? And CHC said, I do have some of the same concerns that Armor has with respect to having the leadership positions in place but not having control of those employees. However, we have done it. This is CHC. We have done it in the past, and it can work. And so the judge very pointedly asked Armor's CEO to stand up and say on the record whether he would be willing to, you know, do the same thing. And at that point, he said, not ideal, but he would do it, provided that the leadership positions would be Armor's and the employees would remain county employees, and there would be some understanding as to their ability to direct the work of those county employees.
It sounds to me as if competitive forces caused a change in the original attitude that was held by Armor.
Mr. Chairman, I would say I think that's probably fairly accurate. That's a fair statement from my perspective.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Mr. Beal, if you'd like to respond.
Chairman, Mr. Supervisor, I was not here last month, but my understanding is that there's a couple things that have changed. Number one, what was the conversation last time was only three positions, just the three key management positions in regards to this. What was proposed to me yesterday was a couple of different things. One is those key management positions. Secondly, the filling of all vacancies, which right now is an additional 43, a little over 43 positions. And thirdly, that the assurance that everything would be monitored in regards to Armor's policies, procedures, everybody, regardless of whose name is on the check, that everybody's on one team and to do one thing, so everybody's going to be held accountable accordingly. Hence, that's why, from the contract language, we would need that. So I think there is some differences versus what was stated previously.
So essentially, your competitor's willingness to provide something you wouldn't originally had no impact on your coming forward and indicating your willingness to overcome your initial reluctance.
Mr. Supervisor, in regards to yesterday, I made it very clear that in regards to everybody that was going to be under our policies and procedures, under our control, administration, in regards to everything from orientation and control, that wasn't proposed previously to me. So to answer your question, when that idea was submitted yesterday, I responded accordingly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Teal. Okay, anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. I know Supervisor Schmidt has some questions, but we do have another speaker that has asked to be presented, and that's Mr. Jeff Weber. Mr. Weber, if I could ask you to come forward, and you can state who you represent.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Weber. I'm with the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. Supervisor Broderick and Supervisor Weishon have done a great job in questioning the relationship between the Sheriff's Department and the Armor people. We too also question that relationship and wonder how old is the original RFP and how many variations of a contract needs to come before the board. Tuesday, a judge asked them, are you willing to do what CHC is willing to do? And they said yes. How many times have they been here in front of you and never once said we're willing to keep the employees county employees? We have some great concerns about how willing they're going to be to work with you and with us if they do get this contract.
Okay. Well, and maybe I can look to Mr. Teal, who is the chief executive officer. I know that Ms. Gorala is up at the table also. But
thank you.
Sure.
Uh, Chairman, first of all, we have other contracts whereby we work collaboratively with various parties. Case in point, more of a recent one, Manatee, where we work specifically Manatee County in Florida, where we by design was in the best interest of that county, which utilized a local group by the name of Manatee Glen. That was in the best interest of the sheriff's office, the county, the taxpayers, and frankly, most importantly, the folks that we treat on a daily basis. That we have no problem working with anybody whose focus is patient care, bottom line. What's been presented to the past, and is my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the situation was three key positions: the medical director, the mental health director, and the site administrator. And that was what we were asked to run. From a malpractice standpoint and a litigation standpoint, it wasn't doable. We checked with multiple carriers. And so when you get into a position where you have a legal document, though, that says, here are the way these things will be put together, where all that really matters is outcome. You can do a public records request. Our record speaks for itself in regards to how our experience has been as far as patient care. Our malpractice premiums in our industry, I've seen them all through Freedom of Information Act request, is the lowest in the industry. That's a direct derivative of a focus on patient care. We have one common goal. I know I've said it 2 to 3 times, but that is our focus. So.
And Ms. Garola, you've been with us numerous times. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. I think what's been important here, at least from the couple of times that I've been here, is the fact of the union employees and them being able to maintain their positions. I think Mr. Teal has made it very clear our willingness to work with you and continue through this path. Thank you.
And Inspector Schmidt, I know that you've been with this every step of the way. Mr. Weber, you heard his questions. Would you like to weigh in from your shop's point of view?
Mr. Chairman, again, this has been over 2 years of attempting to get in compliance with the consent decree. We have provided a contract over 2 years ago that would have filled the positions and would have prevented what has been taking place for 2 years. For whatever reason, it's been deemed appropriate up to this point that that contract wouldn't move forward. Though dispersions have been cast over, why Armor? Well, the fact of the matter still remains. Armor is the only company, after three full RFP processes over the last multiple years, that has come in at a bid that was reasonable and that did exactly what the county needed in order to come in compliance. That fact still remains. It hasn't changed. Why is that a fact? I've been asked that today. Why only Armor? Because no one else has responded. No one else has responded that meets the qualifications of the consent decree that comes in at a reasonable fiscal position besides Armor. Therefore now, as Attorney Whitcomb has placed it, the court's now involved, and in a few days I'm anticipating that some decision will be made. So at that point, of course, I don't want to say any more than that based on without counsel being involved, but that's the upfront. There's no hidden anything. The documentation exists. The RFP questions exist. The respondents exist. It's all out front, and of course, anyone is free to examine it. Thank you.
Thank you, Inspector. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've always had two questions about this contract. One is kind of answered, and I'll ask that again, I guess, and then the question I had before previously. You know, it's not about, I hate that word hacks. I see that in the media all the time. I'm not a union hack. I'm nobody's hack. And I think independently, I voted for privatization. I voted against privatization. I think a stumbling block from the very beginning, and that is a kind of a potential game changer, certainly, is the fact of our employees. You know, we have some obligation to our employees, and I feel unions who have particularly worked with us, the nurses are very dear to my heart, and the great majority, if not all, the board members. I mean, maybe one or two people, you know, wouldn't vote about it because they've contracted with us all the time. They've worked with us through difficult times. That's a union that really stands out in my mind, I think the great majority, if not all, the board. Number two is that that's tough duty. You know, we know that nurses in the private sector can make more money, get better hours, get just as good benefits, by the way, that they do in Milwaukee County. A lot of people in Milwaukee County work here, I'm certainly one, because we believe we're doing something that has some value. We care, and we do care about our constituents, too. I think we've always been fiscally aware of things. I believe I certainly have, and the great majority of the board, I think, always has, too. So this is where the difficulty is. And you know, that I think the two stumbling blocks, based on our experiences, number one I just mentioned about particularly the nurses. Okay, now you've talked to that, which is, and I want to see that on paper, of course, too, and I you've sworn to it, and that's wonderful. Okay, and I guess you want a contract, you have to make adjustments. I haven't seen anybody step up. I've been waiting for a long time for someone else to step up that could do some of the things you're finally talking about today, whether it's expediency or whatever. Well, it's here. And we finally have a judge. I mean, this has been too long, but there have been complicating factors here. It's easier said than done anything. And also the fact that I'm afraid we've had some experiences where we've contracted out. And I don't think we contract out unless we absolutely have to. You know, it's always not the easy way out. It always doesn't save us money. That's a misnomer. And I don't want to be just rote on these things. Okay, I want to look at every particular situation, which I think we should do. So I'll go back to my other question. And I know we're in danger here, but, you know, everything's been, we talked about in court, it's been open. We've talked about these things. I don't see why we can't, personally. Is that, you know, we're asked to look to 2015. Our staff, our DAS, has talked about the uncertainties of 2014. We've been in situations with, particularly in the health field, where we give a contract, and all of a sudden, oh boy, it was 3% this year, and next year is 10%. It's 20%. I've experienced that on this board. Okay, so that's the question I have. What guarantees? I guess we can't have a guarantee. I know the market changes, and you know there is inflation. You know, we got a figure of 3.5. Can you give us any data along with the data we'll get as far as the jobs and the contract you said with our employees, where you can show a history of Manatee or the other contracts you have over time, what your contract was in the first year and in the next 5 years, what the increases were? Is that an unreasonable question to ask?
Mr. Supervisor, no, it's not. As I can sit here right now and list you about 6 to 7 examples. If you'd like for me to, we will gladly provide it to you in writing.
That would be good.
All right, so you want me to hold off as far as... But I can tell you one thing contractually, you can have very simple is have language in there as far as extension years, and that is it's the lower of your regional CPI, Consumer Price Index, or X percent. It's very standard in our contracts. That provides you the security of there not being an increase, number one. Number two, every one of our clients from day number one is a reference. You'll see that we've never come back ever to ask for an increase over the contract. We've never canceled a contract. Now, further correction on that. We provided one nurse for a county for a short period of time, and then we had to cancel it, but it was one nurse. So, but I can tell you of instances where we've reduced contracts by between 5 and 10%. I will be glad we will provide that to you in writing as well. We've kept, when we see, when we come into a system and we can provide the quality of care that we need to and we can do it for less than we're being compensated, there's been multiple instances such as Palm Beach County, Broward County, where we've actually reduced the contracts in subsequent years. We've kept Broward County flat for 4 straight years now because the system has gotten much more efficient, and we will provide that all into writing. Lastly, I will say to you, and we'll provide in writing to you, is that in multiple instances, we've actually provided additional staff over which is required. Broward County is public record. It'll demonstrate that we provided $1 million of additional staff over our base contract and never got compensated for it. So we'll be glad to provide that response to you as well.
Okay, I guess my final comment would be thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Is that this has been a long process indeed, but we spoke to difficulties, and I don't think I've heard some of the things I've heard today until now. And so there is a difference than what I've seen in the past. I mean, I've been leaning to trying to move this thing forward for quite a while, but and I said the things I did too, and I stand by them. And so I think we're in a situation where we need to see this. You know, I'm not going to speak for Mr. Chairman here, of course, but it seems fairly obvious we need to have a special meeting when we get this information to look at this, or a judge is going to do it for us, and I'd rather do it ourselves, of course. So I guess I'm done. Thank you.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just briefly take issue with something Supervisor or Inspector Schmidt said regarding armor being the only one to apply. But I'd preface this by saying that sometimes the patience that's been exhibited by Inspector Schmidt, Bailey, Burmeister, has been exemplary. They are attempting to implement a policy with on behalf of the sheriff's office that is not necessarily of their own making, and I deeply appreciate all the efforts that they've made to date. However, going to the more central point, the fact that armor was the only one to apply, we recently had the Medical College of Wisconsin express their reluctance to enter into the provision of these services, which from my point of view, and I think that might be shared by other members of the committee, would have been preferred above all others, it being local, the concerns being expressed, the jobs being provided, all of that. My impression is that part of their reluctance was based, in fact, on the sheriff's expressed and ongoing unwillingness to cooperate with the implementation of solutions that are contrary to his wishes. Now, realistically, this could have been accomplished long ago with a more cooperative attitude on the part of all involved, some would argue. I think we've all been intent upon finding a solution. The sheriff has thwarted us in so many ways, establishing what seems to me his own de facto legal department and circumventing the representation that would have been expected from the Corporation Counsel's office. I admit in some areas that's appropriate, but raising these issues in a defiant rather than proceeding in a cooperative manner, I think has encumbered this process unreasonably for a very long time. So with that said, I think I understand why people would not want to inject themselves into this marketplace with all that's implied for anyone who takes the time to do a little research. Any company who does, this is something of a quagmire, and even what we arrive at today, whatever that might be, is not going to provide a long-term solution. It's only going to provide, as our Corp Counsel indicated, a bridge. That's unfortunate, and I hope that the sheriff will assume a more cooperative and less dictatorial sort of posture. And for those I offend with those comments, I apologize. I understand the position you're in. I served under Harold Breyer. Need I say more? Thank you.
Inspector Schmidt, I know that I'll give you the opportunity to respond to the supervisor's comments if you'd like.
Mr. Chairman, again, I stand by what I stated. I have personally been involved with the last three RFP processes. I've reviewed what's been sent in. Again, every company except Armor was multi-millions of dollars more than what the county was currently paying Armor. And again, those documentation exists. It's certainly public record. Is the only company that came in fiscally responsible and was able to perform the duties at less than the county currently was. So the question, which automatically is going to be asked now, is why then the increase? 2 years ago, if we would have implemented the contract that the sheriff put forward, there was a reduced cost, and unfortunately, that contract was denied. Dr. Shansky then became involved. He decided to up the ante and add multiple positions, which now is it's forced an increased cost. Nothing any one of us, including supervisors, can do about that at this point. That's a mandate from Dr. Shansky. So, therefore, again, the facts stand as they are. I appreciate the comments that were made, but quite frankly, the data and what has taken place proves that what we've set forth for the county board to consider is indeed the best option that exists. Thank you.
Supervisor Weishaupt? I think, Mr. Chairman, at this time I'd like to make a motion to lay the item over.
To a call, Mr. Chair.
excuse me, actually, a question for Corp Counsel. Would it be more preferable, since we have the ruling by Judge Brash, potentially, to have layover to the call of the chair or just to the next cycle?
And maybe while they converse, our next board meeting is 2 weeks from today,
yes.
The 25th.
Right.
I heard Attorney Whitcomb say that this item is going to be before Judge Brash next Tuesday. So there, you know, and I know that I've heard, and understandably so, we don't have anything in writing, especially on this nurses piece. And so let me look to Corp Counsel as far as some timing, maybe.
So I want to just clarify what you just said, Mr. Chairman. What's before the judge next week, Tuesday, there's not another status conference scheduled. And
okay.
So essentially the judge implied that he was going to make a decision, if necessary, based on what he received. So we won't go back before him, have another status conference. He won't be hearing from the parties. I would say that to the supervisor's question, laying this over to the call of the chair is probably the more appropriate motion to make, because if this body decides that you'd like to have a special meeting to address this, doing that won't preclude your ability to move forward with that special meeting. And while the judge has indicated that he's likely to do something if we don't, if this body decides to act, the judge would, you know, he would defer to this body's judgment.
Don't mean to put words in your mouth, but if I heard you correctly, if we were to vote on this today, chances are Judge Brash would say, it's done, it's over with. Okay, by delaying, Judge Brash understandably could be frustrated again with us and our delays. I don't want to again put words in your mouth, but are we asking him to make that decision, or?
Mr. Chairman, that's the call of this committee. If you would like to defer to the judge and have him make the decision, then what you would want to do is lay this over to the next cycle, because it's likely that the judge will have received the information from CHC as well as Armor and made a determination prior to this committee meeting again. If this body decides that you'd like to make the decision and not leave it into the hands of the judge, then laying over to the call of the chair is the appropriate motion. But I don't know what the body's desire is.
Okay. Supervisor Johnson and then Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would prefer a layover to the call of the chair. Yeah, I am not prepared to vote affirmatively today because I see no amended contract in front of me. So I'm not going to, what I would say would be irresponsibly acting. So I would wait at least to see what happens. At least if we get some feedback from what happened Tuesday, then maybe a special meeting can be scheduled, and then we can proceed. But I'm not going to vote for something not having a contract in front of me.
Very good. Thank you. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also feel the same way as Supervisor Johnson, and that so I'll make the motion to lay over to the call of the chair. What's before Judge Brash would be two competitive contracts right now. I don't believe what before us is even a competitive contract, let alone we don't know exactly what's in that contract. So I don't feel it's appropriate to vote on that today. As I said, I would have preferred a whole different forum to negotiate these things. But my motion is to lay over to the call of the chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Ms. Walker?
Mr. Chairman, when I get the proposals received from CHC as well as ARMOR, I'll be sure to forward them to this committee, or do you want me to forward them to the entire board?
Entire board.
Pleasure.
Of the entire board.
Okay. Full board. So I'll send them to the entire board when I receive them next week.
Well, and I'm getting a bug in my ear here, and that is I'm not sure if we're going to have a meeting before the board meeting if we have all of that information. So I guess to answer your question, I'm not sure we're going to be prepared to do that. Is that correct?
You can call a special meeting if the chairwoman would like to do that. Nevertheless, what I'll do is make sure that the board has the information, and then let you decide if a special meeting should be called or not.
Well, and it will be all dependent on the entire county board being comfortable seeing everything, because if we have a special committee meeting. I'm not sure how many of our colleagues would be able to be there for that, and then all of a sudden they're going to be voting on this item. So I think that's going to be the main, unless it comes through the normal cycle again. So anybody else? So, Madam Clerk, we have a motion to lay over to the call of the chair, and if there is no...
Mr. Chairman, again, if we have the information in front of us, I think that if we have an opportunity to review that and then move forward, this consent decree problem has been something that's been before us and in front of the county, and part of what Judge Brash is doing is to make sure that inordinate and in more inordinate amount of time does not pass before something's done. So lay over to the call of the chair, I think, is very appropriate, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Jurczyk.
I was listening on the squawk box, and my one question is, when does the judge need this decision by? I didn't hear that. I don't know if it's been...
What's the next date? Mr. Chairman, the judge did not set another date. The judge indicated he wanted the proposals in writing to him to determine which one he would choose if the board didn't act.
And when's the next hearing date?
There is no date to follow up on the discussion that we've had about last week's discussion. There is another date that's scheduled to be before Judge Brash, the end of May, that relates to Christensen, but not directly as it relates to the ARMOR contract.
I think the chair is correct. I mean, I can't see us doing this before the board meeting because you're going to need more information, but if it's not until May, you do have another cycle. We are being put in a box here. You now have the third branch of government with the second branch of government and a Christensen decree, which this is the longest decree like it in the nation, in which we're under court supervision. And really, I'm going to criticize the appropriate person here. The sheriff can't cooperate. So because of that, we are in a box. And now we have the third branch of government waiting to see if the second branch of government is going to do something, and yet the person who needs to do something doesn't cooperate. So it's a conundrum, but I would suggest that a layover is probably appropriate until May, unless we hear corp counsel telling us that there is a more specific date that we have to be concerned about.
Well, the specific date, Mr. Chairman, is Tuesday of next week. That is when the proposals are due to the judge. The judge has not set another date for the parties to come before him to testify, to talk about the proposals. Rather, he's indicated that he will take a look at those proposals once received and make a decision, if necessary, if this body doesn't act. So the next hearing that we have is at the end of May, but it's not even related to the ARMOR agreement. It's related to something around Christensen.
This temporary ARMOR agreement, do we have an out clause?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is the ARMOR agreement that you currently have before you has a 30-day out, and that's one of the questions that the judge asked about earlier this week.
Okay. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why, I think a layover is appropriate, and the thing is, if the judge can see two different proposals,
right,
this board should see two different proposals, because I definitely, from the analysis here, and one, we don't even have this cooperation agreement before us. So I think it is totally inappropriate that we would vote on something that we haven't even read the contract to find out what's in it, let alone enter into something that is, you know, a 6.5-year potential contract. So I think it's time to move along. We've kind of beat this horse to death, and we can lay the item over and deal with some of these other matters. Supervisor Broderick, you have some
Thank you.
Mr.
Chair, I would just make the observation, if we did have the contract before us, and if we found provisions in the contract that we didn't agree with, the Journal editorial board would accuse us of micromanaging because in terms of our oversight responsibilities, we'd be exercising them, but to a degree that apparently some find they're very uncomfortable with. So, I mean, it's a conundrum in another sense, Supervisor Jerzyk, in that whenever we exercise due diligence in terms of our responsibility to review these contracts, we leave ourselves wide open to micromanagement charges, and therefore we better downsize this outfit because that'll make them smaller and less able to micromanage. Very interesting circular kind of argument.
Thank you, Plato.
Well, I'm a teacher.
The hemlock's posed, but that was Socrates.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. Well, we're all saying the same thing. That was my major concern, too, to get something on paper. And I don't have any problem with this micromanaging kind of nonsense, because we're held responsible for our constituents to look at these major, major changes. You know, I spoke publicly last month, you know, about three different major times I can think of where the board, if they didn't look at contracts, we'd have made major multi-million mistakes. I talked about pension. I talked about moving to St. Mike's. You know, a couple other things that I'm not going to go into today. But we've had that role, and it's a very important role we have, so I hope you understand that. And, yes, we're supposed to make, you know, these... This one we haven't heard too much about. I'd certainly like to see that too, just to see if, you know, if the judge has that. I don't see why we don't have the information either.
Mr. Chairman, point of clarification. At this point, the judge doesn't have anything as it relates to CHC, because CHC did surface to the parties like 24 hours before the status conference. And so while CHC's CEO was there to talk under oath about what he could provide for the county, there's nothing in writing. So you're not behind the ball of getting information that the judge has. What we will all get on next week, Tuesday, is CHC's proposal and whatever it is that Armour is going to propose from what they have now or something completely new. We don't have it yet.
Very good. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. So, Madam Clerk, if you could let us know what the motion is that was a couple days ago.
Lay over to the call of the chair.
Thank you.
That was today.
I know. Then let's please call a roll on the motion.
Supervisors Johnson?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to lay over to the call of the chair is approved.
Thank you. Okay. We're getting into to some areas that we may want to go into.